The Rudin Report Live presents Nothing But Net, a look at Connecticut high school basketball with Dave Rudin on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Nothing But Net. I'm Dave Rudin, and as always, we're sponsored by Dutchess Restaurants. Fresh food, serve fast. FCX season is finally over. I don't know if I should say finally over, but it's over after we had the FCX championship game on Wednesday night, and we're on to the state tournament. We're actually, because of the different schedule this year, we're actually into the state tournament in a couple of rounds, and got a lot to talk about today. Staples with a second straight FCAC title Wednesday at Fairfield U with a 62-48 win over Ridgefield. The game that was much closer than everybody anticipated. Ridgefield hung in there until the final minutes and helped salvage what was probably not the most memorable FCAC tournament that we've had, but at least we got a good final. And joining us in a little bit, we're going to have the Rutgers' top two players, Sam Klocko and Mason Tobias. Joining me as always to break it down, and I know he's highly anticipating our 20-0, 0-20, not first but second round game, because everybody gets a bye in our Division I tournament. And that's Mike Walsh. Mike, you're all pumped up for that game, right?
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure Manchester is just as pumped up about it. I can't say it's been an exciting FCAC year. Looking back, actually, to your predictions on December 15th of 2025, and you had Staples right on top and Ridgefield second. And it came down to those two teams. And, Staples did what they had to do all year long and came away with the FCAC championship. But I have to give credit to Ridgefield, especially to Jason Genova. He was fantastic in that game. And he's the reason that they kept close with Staples. But kudos to Staples and the two players and all the whole team. The two players you have on today and all the whole team for their success and carrying out a 20-0 season, regular season, 23-0 for the whole season. So I'm sure they have visions of not only Manchester, but the Division I state tournament.
Yeah, Jay Genova was really the MVP of the game, and that's because Staples, it was a real collaborative effort, and what they did in the game was pretty much what they did all year. We're getting contributions from a lot of people, but if it wasn't for Genova, I don't know that we would have had a game. He had a tour de force performance with 27 points, was 5-for-10 from 3-point range, and hit a 3-point shot with 6.5 minutes to go. And Ridgefield is sitting there only down by 2, 47-45. And you're looking at Staples being tested for only the second time all year, and this time under the spotlights for a crowd at Fairfield University. And, a second Genova 3 with 5:08 to go. It was still a 4-point game. And then it was the Rutgers with a 10-0 run. Really 8-0 run, a little unfortunate dunk at the buzzer. But all five of their starters scored during that run. And that really was what got them the win. They had four guys in double figures and a fifth almost there. And that's what Staples did all year to run the table at 23-0.
No question about it, Dave. And I think, as we said during the year, that their defense does not get a lot of credit. Even with Genova scoring those 27 points, he was taking those threes from beyond the college line. I mean, he was just fantastic as far as shooting was concerned, but they always had a man in his face, and they guarded him. I thought the biggest defensive effort was on Patrick Foley. I think he ended up with only 3 points, and that was a great job defensively on him because they needed him to score to win that game. But again, I think Andrew McClellan did a great job as far as keeping his team in it and giving them a chance in that fourth quarter. But Staples prevailed, as you predicted back in December of 2025.
I don't think I was going too far out on the limb with that prediction.
No, I don't doubt
I
that.
I think I dabbled my big toe, maybe my second toe, in terms of making that pick.
Absolutely. But, again, you know, sometimes it's harder to, with a target on your back, to go out and make it happen, but Staples did.
Yep. You look at a couple of statistics, and you talk about the Staples defense. They only turned the ball over one time. That's pretty incredible. I thought that was a key statistic, while Ridgefield had 9 turnovers. And then another thing is Staples got themselves to the foul line because they were a little bit more diversified where they were shooting from, and outscored Ridgefield 15-8 from the foul line, and that pretty much makes up the margin of victory. But you look at it, Sam Klacko finished off a great FCAC career for himself with a 13-point, 7-rebound, 4-assist performance, and he was named the MVP. And I just got a text here from Glenn Colello, our favorite ref, and owns a health food store, saying I need a ginger shot, and he's probably right about that. And Glenn, have one ready for me as well as my blueberry smoothie. And he had his 13. Mason Tobias with 14. Austin Heyer. He had a real underrated season. He was the question mark coming into the game, coming into the season. He was the one newcomer to the starting lineup. He took Adam Udell's spot. And Austin had a really, really good year. Probably doesn't get talked about it as much as it should. But he had 12 points, and then Matty Corrigan with 11, and Dylan Lohman added 7. It was just a really a balanced attack, and that's pretty much what Staples did all year, and that's what allowed them to go 23-0. But you know what made their performance, I think, all the more impressive this year was not just that they won, but how they won. And again, 2 close games. Their average margin, I figured it out, their average margin of victory going into the final was 24.4 points.
No, that's incredible. And I think the fact that they shared the ball, and as I talked about before, their defense made all that possible. And, you know, I would look forward to them in the Division I state tournament, especially since they have a bye into the second round. And then, I don't want to say
everybody's got a bye into the second round.
Right, but they might have a bye in the second round, too. But, you know, that's something else that they're looking forward to, I'm sure, after the successful run they've had in the FCAC tournament.
Yeah, basically they got a yellow brick road to the semifinals. They, you know, barring a real surprise, it's going to come down to Notre Dame Prep and your boy Brian Krifcher going against Staples, and we'll talk about that game in a little bit. But you know what it's like. You ran the table for 3 years, so you have a little bit of expertise in this. How hard is it to do, even when you're a heavy favorite?
Well, I mean, it's difficult, but when you have good players, sometimes the coach has to not get in the way and not screw it up. And I think I did that for 3 years. And, you know, let the players play and let them get their wins and the W. They know what they have to do when they go out and they're motivated. And as I said, it all starts with having good players and then getting those players to accept each other and to work with each other and have confidence in each other and trust one another. And that's what happened when we were successful. And I think that's what happened with Staples this year and even last year.
Yep, and like I said, I think they have the best shot of getting to Mohegan Sun of all the FCAC teams. We, what we've seen in the tournament, and we'll get to the state playoffs on the other side, but it's almost a repeat of the regular season. We've got, you've got a couple of teams that don't belong in Division I this year, if Division I were, in fact, the best teams this season. But you got Danbury and Greenwich and Stanford that are going to have very difficult first or second round games. Just say it's a first-round game and it's a four-round tournament, and let's stop with all these fake rounds. But it makes it really difficult. But assuming they lose, you're going to have if Ridgefield's got a somewhat difficult game against Southington, but if Ridgefield and Staples win, you're going to have the five top FCAC teams in the second round of the playoffs. And that's really where the split was in the league this year, was the top five teams, and we're including Trumbull, which finished the regular season number two, Ludlow, which was number four, and New Canaan number five. Those five teams separated themselves from everybody else, and then from six below, it was just the second tier of the league.
No, it was. Again, I hate to harpen back to the beginning of the year, but I think that was how it was kind of predicted. And we said the first five teams, and then six through eight was going to be something that is going to be decided when they play each other. And it was. I mean, West Hill was the eighth seed, and they beat teams like Greenwich and McMahon and got into the tournament. And Stanford, was able to beat Central and West Hill, and they get in as number seven. And, Ward, I think, accomplished a lot by getting in by six. So six through 12 are kind of all even in the FCAC. And, it finished that way. But we kind of had the top five teams right there from the beginning, and that's how it ended up. And, right now they're all involved in the state tournament, which is a good thing. I think 14 out of the 16 teams made it to the state tournament. Of course, that's with an asterisk as far as Greenwich and who was the other one? Greenwich and Danbury. Greenwich and Danbury, of course, probably didn't deserve to get in, but they're in Division One, so they made the tournament.
Yep, that's what happens when you go on past performance or size of school, I guess. But why don't we take a break, and we'll come back, talk a little bit more about the league season and the state playoffs. You're listening to Nothing But Net on WICC.
A look at Connecticut high school basketball. Nothing But Net on WICC 600 and 95.9. The voice of Connecticut with your host, Dave Rudin.
Okay, we're back. Congratulations to Staples on a great, great, great FCAC season. Anytime you go undefeated, it's quite an accomplishment. Mike, you and I have discussed it a little bit. Why don't we spend just a couple minutes, not too long, on the all-FCAC teams which were announced at the championship. And I say kudos to the coaches. I think they nailed this test. They do seven player first team, and they got all the seven players in my eyes, and I think in yours as well. Correct. You had Mason Tobias, Henry Chandra from New Canaan, Jade Genova, Carlo Noecker from Ludlow, Jordan Sutton from Stanford, Sam Clacco. And then player of the year for the second straight year, and very, very, very deservedly so, Sean Wilson at Trumbull. I think they got all seven right there, Mike. I think there's a little bit of a small little drop-off after that.
No, I agree 100%. The coaches, they usually get it right, and this year they did especially good job. Those seven people all deserve to be on the first team. I think if you had to cut it down to five, in my opinion, it would be very difficult. And I'm anxious to see how you break it down in your all-Rudin FCAC first team. Because I know you only pick five, right?
Yeah, I do only pick five, and it's kind of, like you said, it's difficult. I don't know. Do you have any advice for me? You want to save your advice for off-air? Or you got any advice for me in terms of deciding who's six and seven?
I will tell you only that the three guards, Jason Denova, Sean Wilson, and Sam Klatko, all deserve to be first team. After that, you pick them. I love Chandler because I think without him, New Canaan would have been a below 500 team. I think that Neuecker did a great job with Ludlow this year. So it gets – and Tobias, without any kind of doubt, he was a real keeper, a staple, both offensively and defensive. So I'll let you pick the last two, and then we'll have a little controversy after that, I guess.
I don't know if it's controversy. Yeah, I don't know, and I actually have, like, the order of finish. Like, I won't share that, but I have how the breakdown in voting went. And, yeah, it's kind of interesting. I don't know if if my four and five will be the same as the coaches, but it's tough. And then, like I said, a second on Sean Wilson to win Player of the Year in the league once is quite an accomplishment. To do it 2 years in a row, and what he did and what he meant for Trumbull this year was and continuing. He there were times he just put the team on his shoulders and carried it. There were times he knew share the ball a little bit more, it would be better off. He rebounds. He defends really well. He doesn't get enough credit, I don't think, for defending, including playing players of all positions and sizes on the other team. The second half of their game when they played Stanford, they put him on Jordan Sutton, and he helped shut him down. So, I know you're as big a Sean Wilson fan as I am.
No question. As I said, I think before on this podcast that I saw him as a sophomore, and I said to Colin Devine, who was an assistant at the time at Trumbull, I said, Colin, that kid's going to be a heck of a player. And he turned out to be just that. I mean, to win back-to-back FCAC Players of the Year is quite an accomplishment, and we wish him well. Just a great kid and a great player. Deservedly so.
Yeah, and then Coach of the Year, in my eyes, there were two candidates, and they got it right with picking Dave Goldshore. Yeah, he had the most talent, but he still got that most talent to play at its very best just about every night and leading the team to a 23-0 record. And I think he beats out. I would put number two to John Daly. I think John Daly squeezed every ounce of juice out of that team.
No, I don't disagree with you. And I think that there's several fine coaching jobs this year. Goldshaw being obviously the coach of the year and John Daly doing a great job. But I think that, people underestimate Andrew McClellan. I mean, he had put together basically a whole new team, and he did that. And by the end of the year, he gave Staples all that they could handle. And watch out for him in the state tournament. So, I mean, he should be up there. And probably nobody talks about this guy, but the guy from West Hill.
Roberto Nieves.
Roberto Nieves has done a great job over there. So, as I say, many good coaches. And for Goldshaw to be elected, I think, is a good thing for him, and deservedly so.
Unless a mind was changed, I'm pretty certain Berto got one vote, and again, he did a great job. You got Danny Melzer in the league. You just got a lot of really good coaches in the league, and it's kind of been fun to see that. Mike is someone who had a heavy favorite several times, and you never were voted Coach of the Year. Talk about what it's like, even though when you're a heavy favorite, how difficult it is still just to get that team to play at its best every night, maximize its talent, and get wins?
Well, to be honest with you, as I said before, I think it all starts with the players. I mean, the players, and we had pretty good tradition at Trinity, and they all wanted to carry on that tradition. In fact, I have today, March 8th, to wish happy birthday to Rochmel Jones, who's now 50 years old.
I saw that. He turned 50.
Which, you know, it kind of started the whole ball rolling at Trinity. And, you know, from then on, I think everybody wanted to continue that success. And we were able to do that, you know, over the years with some really, really good players and kids who bought into what we wanted to do. And, you know, as it starts with the players, as I said, and then the coach, you know, kind of puts it together. And like I said before, I didn't screw it up. So I guess the players did a good job.
Yeah, and those were some dream teams with Rosh going to UConn, being a captain, Craig Ostrey later becoming a captain there, you know, Dave McClure at Duke. I'm going to miss somebody. Torrey Thomas said, holy cross. I don't want to just keep Chris Grell, Jet Brown.
Don't forget my
Earl.
The most talented was Earl Johnson.
Earl.
Earl, you know, as a point guard, it was, I don't think anybody as good as him ever. He was really, really good player. But like I said, it's important to have the good players and then to be able to put them in the right positions and to make things happen both offensively and defensively. And, of course, the pride that they have in themselves, that means a lot. You know, and again, there are many players that you mentioned there, but, you know, some of the players that you didn't mention, like a Mike Ciambole or people like that, they contributed so much to the success of the program that I was very fortunate. And I had great assistant coaches in the late Billy Walsh and, you know, then I had Joe Vasari.
Was Jovi at the Carolina Duke game yesterday?
I guess he was, and he was a little disappointed.
He's not real happy today.
No. But, you know, he's there. And then, of course, we had, you know, Al Bell, who was sort of her spiritual
the
leader.
The team fanner.
He was Mr. T, he was. He had the old chains and all that stuff. We had a whole entourage and a bunch of really, really good people, not to mention, you know, really, really nice students who came out to support us. You know, that gym was packed every night. And, you know, teachers and administrators and everybody was behind it. But I'd be remiss by not saying that the key behind all the success was a guy named Tracy Nichols, who was probably the most underrated AD of all time. He did such a great job over at Trinity, and we were very fortunate to have him.
Tracy's the best. Those were, when I look back at my career, those were the fun days. And being a basketball guy, that might have been the most fun I had when, you know, when the league was like it was. You had all the Bridgeport teams, the Stanford teams. It was a big game every night. But why don't we go, that was our little dab into memory lane. Let's take a break and we'll get back to the present. You're listening to Nothing But Net on WICC.
Let's hear what Dave Rudin has to say about this week in high school basketball. You're listening to Nothing But Net on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Okay, we're back, and we've been talking about Staples' win over Ridgefield, second straight FCAC title, after a 62-year wait between their last one and their first one last year. And joining us right now, they're the leaders on the court, leaders in the stat sheet in all the key areas, and two class acts as well, Sam Klatko and Mason Tobias. Hey, guys, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us on.
Okay, you fresh off practice. You guys ready for Manchester?
Yeah, we're ready. We're ready for Manchester and the state tournament.
Okay, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Let's get to the FCAC title. You guys got two now. How was number two compared to number one?
I mean, it was awesome. It was
definitely a different experience for me because I wasn't on the court for the last one, but it was really nice to have all our hard work throughout the season pay off and win the FCX.
But why don't you, since I was going to bring that up after, but you know, last year, right at the end of the regular season, a real unfortunate injury for you, and you had the broken wrist. You got to be on the court. You got to win the MVP award after just a terrific season. What was that whole night like for you? Was it a little different than last year?
Yeah, it was, and it was really awesome. We knew it was going to be a good game going in. We knew they weren't going to just go down easy, and before the game, our coaches kind of talked to us that we need to stay composed throughout the whole game, and I thought that was really key for us, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and it was just really awesome to win it.
Hey, Mason, you guys, other than Fairfield-Ludlow, hadn't been in a real challenging game in the fourth quarter. It's 47-45 with 6.5 minutes to go, and it's still a four-point game with 5 minutes to go. What was the mood like? Was it any different?
I mean, not really. I mean, you know, we talked a lot about before the game about composure. And, you know, even though we've only kind of had one close game this year, you know, all five of our starters have been in close big games through our whole career. So we knew we were a really experienced team, so we weren't really panicking at all.
And every one of your players scored during that final stretch run. It's kind of a fitting way for you guys in double figures and a fifth close. To me, and you guys talk about it, you guys were an ensemble the whole year. All five of you contributed in different ways. All five of you leading scorers on different night. Just talk about the chemistry you all had.
Yeah, I mean, I think none of us really care who's the one that's putting the ball in the basket as long as we're scoring points. And we've just been working really hard, working together all year. And no matter, some nights it's Mason, some nights it's Maddie, no matter who it is, we're all just going to be there. We're all, don't care who's scoring as long as we're getting the win.
Mike, jump in.
Well, no, first of all, fellas, congratulations. I know it's not easy to do to win back-to-back FCX, and you know, you persevered through the season and did a great job. Just a quick question, Sam. You know, you really kind of relegated your role as far as scoring was concerned because, I mean, I think you averaged about 8 or 9 assists a game. That's kind of incredible. And, you know, I think that was part of the success of the team. You didn't feel like you had to do it all yourself, that you had 4 guys around you, 5 guys that could put the ball in a basket. And, you know, one of them being Mason, great job. I mean, you know, I knew you were a good player at the beginning of the year, but the more I watched you, it really became, you know, even better than that. And then to find out that you, you know, gave up kind of like an opportunity to play baseball and hang with your guys, you know, there's more to life than just the that, and I think you realize it. And you know, again, I have the utmost respect for both of you and for the team and what they did. And you know, keep it going. It's going to be a state tournament, which I think you got a nice draw, and have a chance to get to Mohegan.
I appreciate that.
Yep, thank you.
I don't know if you guys know this, but when Mike was coaching, he had a run where his Trinity Catholic team won 68 straight games. How hard is it just to win 23 straight games?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard, especially coming off winning the FCX. So we knew right away we were going to get every team's best shot. And then just to make sure we're staying focused and trying not to have any off nights for now 23 straight games, it's really hard. But I think we're all really bought in, so we're able to do it.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I mean, it was definitely a goal of ours to go, you know, 20-0 and then win FCX. But I think it's just a testament to, you know, our team and our coaches really not taking, you know, any nights off, always having a great scout prepared. And they do a great job of making sure we never take a team lightly. So I think it's a lot of credit to the coaches.
A couple individual questions for each of you. First, Mason, and I'll let you tell the story, but for people who didn't read it in the Rudin Report, I wrote a little bit about a big decision Mason had in terms of he was committed to go play baseball at Seton Hall, a great pitcher for the Staples baseball team, and suffered a UCL injury last year. And Mason, I'll let you pick up and tell the story and how you made the choice to come back to the basketball team.
Yeah, you know, like you said, I last spring after basketball season, I torn my UCL and kind of had the decision to, you know, get surgery and miss the rest of my high school sports, or, you know, not get surgery and be able to play basketball. And, you know, it was definitely a hard decision, but, you know, I mean, I've said it, like, you know, sitting at night just thinking about, you know, the games like the other day and just being out there with all the boys, like, I was never going to be able to pass that up. So, you know, it really, like, thinking back on it was, you know, definitely the right decision and the right decision for me.
And no seconds, no regrets at all after this kind of year when it paid off.
No, none.
And Sam, I just want to talk a little bit about, and Coach talked a little bit about your change in role, and you were more of a two last year, kind of like part one, part of a one, but more of a two with Adam Udell, your good friend. And you had a great year as a shooting guard, but everybody said to me, well, he's really a point guard. And I remember the first game I saw you play at the one, it was like, wow, your court sense and the way you see the court is just incredible. And I don't know where, I know you're over eight. I don't know after the championship where you are, but you're over eight assists a game, which to me is one of the most incredible stats that we've seen in the league in some time. I don't know if you could put it into words, your court sense, but if you can, just describe it. And were you more comfortable this year playing a one 100% of the time?
I mean, growing up, I was always like the point guard on my team, but I don't really think of myself as like a one or a two. I kind of just think of myself as a basketball player. I've been on a bunch of different teams where I've had different roles. Even all four of my years here, I've had different roles. So I kind of just like to do what my team needs the most. And, yeah, I mean, I definitely feel more comfortable on the ball than off the ball, making the decisions with the ball in my hands.
I don't remember which game it was, the regular season game right before the end of the period where you threw that three-quarter pass for a layup. But just the way you see the court is really, really impressive. Let's get to the state tournament. You can't look past anybody, but you've got a Manchester team that won a state title last year and should have been in D1 last year, but was in D2 and should be wouldn't have made the tournament this year, but they're in D1. What's it like when this game's almost going to be like the whole season was, where you were a heavy favorite? You're going to be an even heavier favorite. What kind of mental approach do you take?
I mean, yeah, especially like me and Mason, the other seniors, like now that it gets to the state tournament, like nothing's guaranteed. We only have one more guaranteed practice after today, and the game, we got to win to move on. So we're definitely not going to be taking any teams lightly, not looking at anyone's record or anything like that. We're just going to take it day by day.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't had a great season, but, you know, especially over these last few days, we're kind of just still working on getting better because we have an end goal in sight. So, you know, we haven't really started preparing. We'll prepare for them tomorrow, but over these last few days, we've been working really hard just to get better, to keep going so we can eventually win that state championship.
How do you look at the state playoffs compared to the FCAC playoffs? I know you guys are real happy with what you've done, but you guys want to accomplish all your goals, and that includes getting a Mohegan Sun and getting a W there. So how are the state playoffs preparation different from the FCAC?
I mean, it's still, you know, the same. We have the same goal for both, to win a championship, but I think, you know, in FCX, you're playing teams that you've already played that, you know, especially, you know, teams like, you know, Ludlow, Richfield, like they know us well and we know them. So, you know, it's definitely different for the state tournament, playing teams, basically all the teams we haven't played before. So I think it's a different preparation, but, you know, I mean, same thing, got to work hard, got to prepare, and, you know, same goal in mind.
Well, guys, you've had a a terrific season to date. So congratulations on all your accomplishments. You guys had the most talent, but you never got derailed, and you guys came to play every night, and that's a credit to you and your teammates. So congratulations on what you've done. I wish you the best of luck. I hope you get to Mohegan Sun, and you get to go to play Notre Dame or West Haven, and you'll be the big underdog. And if you were to play that game and get to be in a different role and get the chance to get that last goal of yours in a state title. But congrats, and thanks a lot for joining us here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Staples, Sam Klacko and Mason Tobias. We're going to take a break, and Mike and I will finish up talking a little bit about the state playoffs. You're listening to Nothing But Net on WICC.
Everything you need to know about high school basketball. The Rudin Report presents Nothing But Net with Dave Rudin. Now on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back, and again, thanks to Sam and Mason. Mike, I love that answer. You know, do you like playing one or two? No, I just think of myself as being a basketball player.
No, I like that, too. And, you know, really, those two could have their own podcast. Their answers were really great, and they're great kids. And, you know, they deserve all the credit, along with their teammates, for winning back-to-back FCAC titles, and especially a 23-0 season that they had this year, where they had a target on their back the whole time, and you know, they met the challenge, and now they're on to challenging for the state tournament.
I think they have the best shot of any FCAC team to get to Mohegan. Yeah, they're going to beat Manchester, and then they played the New London Holy Cross winner. Should get past that game, and then they very well could have Notre Dame Prep. And your boy, Brian Krifcher, the coach there. I've heard a bunch of different predicted outcomes if that were the matchup. I know you like Staples in that game if it were to happen.
Well, I mean, it's not a question. I think it's 50-50. You know, they're very similar, but they scrimmage each other quite a bit. I know they scrimmaged last year a couple times, and I think they scrimmaged this year. So they know, and they play in the fall leagues and the summer leagues together. So they know each other very well. Now, Sam talked about how they know Richfield and Ludlow and the teams in the FCAC. I think they know Notre Dame of Prep just as well. The Notre Dame of Prep two guards are really, really good. They're both juniors, and I think one of them, Josh Charlotte, may be the best point guard in the entire state. But you know, it's going to be a battle. I think, you know, Staples, the key is going to be Mason Tobias. I think Notre Dame's going to have to stop him. And, you know, it should be a great game. But, you know, let me say this. There's no guarantee that Notre Dame's going to, you know, have an easy road either. They played a New Britain team who was beat Southington in the last game, and they're pretty good. They have 11 wins, and I think that they have to beat them, and then they have to face on the road at Northwest Catholic. And Johnny Mirabella is probably one of the top five coaches in the entire CIAC, and that will not be an easy game. Northwest Catholic, he runs a great offense, and you know, the kids are very disciplined. And as I say, he's a great coach. So I'd love to see the matchup. It would be great for one of them to get to Notre Dame, to get to, and we're already giving Notre Dame and West Haven the finals there, and deservedly so. I think that they are the best team in the state by far. And the way they set up the state tournament, where they're rated sixth, is is kind of ridiculous. But again, if you had to pick a bracket, I would rather be in the Staples-Notre Dame of Fairfield bracket than on the other side, where, you know, Notre Dame of West Haven has to get by an East Catholic team who's very, very good. They have to get by West Haven, who's very good. You know, when you get down to the final, let's say, eight teams in the Division I tournament, then it's a great tournament. But before that, I don't know. I mean, the only question is, like.
Yeah, it's going to be, we're going to be saying the same thing. You know, we got all buys, and then you're going to have a whole bunch of 40 and 50 point games in the quarterfinals, and it's just got to, you know, I'm not going to harp on it. It's just got to be fixed, and I'll leave it at that. The best teams are in two different fields this year.
No, I agree with you, you know, and I think that, you know, hopefully they do something to change it, but obviously they're not going to listen to us.
It's gonna hit home here next year, and you and I have talked, speculated, but I'm guessing Trumbull's going to go to Division One next year. Not because they're going to be one of the 16 best teams necessarily, but because of what Sean Wilson and the other guys, you know, Jaden Tuhays and Reed and all the other guys did these past 2 years. And they'll go to Division One next year when they may not be a Division One team.
Yeah, there's no question. And the formula, I'm still not sure of the formula. I'm sure they have it laid out mathematically, but
I don't want to see the formula.
But, you know, let's take Greenwich. When's the last time Greenwich won anything in basketball?
Greenwich and Danbury are in because of size of school. So, I mean, it's...
Oh, is that what it is?
It's got to be. Why else would they be there? Stanford size...
Well, Danbury's had some success if you go back 2 years. Oh, it's only based on two. Okay.
I think it's based on two. Their big pronouncement at the beginning of the year was it was going to be improved because it was not based on the last 3 years, but the last two. Doesn't even matter if it was based on 1 year.
Well, as you say, not the hard.
Well, yeah,
part,
let's move off this because I'm so tired of it. I keep thinking if I ever had to go to a convention of high school sports writers, basketball writers. And we had to talk about our state tournaments. I'd be embarrassed. I'd have to skip the convention or whatever because there's just. I told a friend of mine the other day, a hockey parent, who's very involved in high school sports in the FCAC. I told him how they did the basketball, and he was incredulous. So let's go. We're running out of time. Division Two, it's going to be tough, I think, for an FCAC team. To get to Mohegan, just because there are teams in their pockets that are going to be tough. I think Ludlow could get by Hall tomorrow, but then they would have Windsor. New Canaan's going to have a real, real tough time with Platt tomorrow. And then I think Trumbull, you know, could maybe win one or two games, but then the semifinals, they could be looking at East Hartford, and that would be a tough game for them.
Right, and, you know, Sean Wilson is going to have to be really at the top of his game to beat an East Hartford. But you never know. I mean, it could happen. But I think in Division II, Trumbull has the best chance of going on. And, you know, of course, that bumps him up to Division I next year. So we'll see what happens. But actually, the team that might have a better shot is St. Joe's in Division III, who beat Shelton last night, which... again, I don't know why they're in Division III, I guess. yeah. But anyway,
well, let's,
I will follow Division III.
We will have some stuff to talk about next week. I'm going to catch a healthy habit and see if these ginger shots work. Glenn, line them up for me. Mike, great show. We'll have a lot to talk about next week. You listen to Nothing But Net, brought to you by Dutchess Restaurants. Fresh food, serve fast. Thanks to everybody at Dutchess. Thanks to Paul Goodman in the production chair. Have a good week, everybody. We'll see you next Sunday.